and to the reading of God's holy word. Pray that he blesses it to our understanding this morning. Did you notice what Jesus said there in that verse 26? When he was disputing with the Pharisees, he said this, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I know them, and I give them eternal life." How you respond to the word of God is a demarcation. It exposes you either as one who is of the sheep of Christ or not of the sheep of Christ. Now, the religious rulers of the day, the Pharisees, they were the ones that people would look at and say, these are certainly the people of God. They have separated themselves from the rest of Israel, trying to be that separatist and follow the religion of Judaism to a T. These certainly must be God's people. And Jesus told them that they were not. They were like dead men's bones. They were sepulchers. They were graves. And underneath their tongues were like poisonous vipers. And they were not the people of God. And Jesus told them, "You are not of my sheep." And you demonstrate that because you don't hear my voice. You see, that's what the sheep do. The sheep hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And they not only hear, but they follow. So that's the question for each one of us this morning is, are you following the good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Are you going your own way, listening to the things of the world? Because you are either in Christ or you are either in Adam and you are of the world. And the world hears the things of the world, and therefore you follow the things of the world. That's what the worldling does. That's what the unbeliever does. He does not hear the voice of Christ. He will not follow the voice of Christ. It reminds me of Stephen when he was being stoned. They rushed at him with one accord and wanted to kill him because he proclaimed the gospel to them. The same thing when Jesus spoke, they would plug their ears and they would rush at him wanting to throw him over a cliff. They hated him. They hated the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep do not hate the shepherd. The sheep of Christ's pasture love the good shepherd. They desire the good shepherd. They want communion with the good shepherd. They want to hear the voice continually of the good shepherd. And that's the point here in this text, is that the sheep are made sheep. They don't make themselves sheep. You don't make yourself one who is of Christ's pasture. Christ has been given sheep to redeem. All that the Father give to me, come to me. And all who come to me, all I will no wise cast out. The sheep are a gift from the Father to the Son, that he might come to this world, take upon himself humanity. Not a subtraction, but an addition. The divine nature and the human nature coinciding together. Not mingled, not mixed, not separated, not divided, but in one person, fully divine, fully human, that he might fulfill all the demands of the law in the place of his sheep. And that all that he does for his sheep, on behalf of his sheep, that we might have life. The covenant of works must be fulfilled. All the stipulations of the old covenant must be fulfilled. And we cannot do it. We have sinned, we have fallen short, we have broken all the commandments. Christ alone fulfills the commandments. And we are then called to believe and trust in him, and that's what the sheep do. He then goes to the cross and he lays down his life in death and suffers the wrath of God, the inexpressible anguish, pains, and terrors of the cross, that wrath that comes upon him in our place, that we might have all of our sins removed and we might be declared then holy and righteous and forgiven in the sight of God by God himself, all on account of the good shepherd who came to redeem a multitude which no man can number. From all the tribes, tongues, and nations of the world, that's the good news. The good news is that all that I have failed to do, Christ has done in my place. The good news is the sin that I could not atone for, he atoned for in my place. The good news is that he suffered the wrath of God against my sin. And therefore I have life everlasting because of the work of the Savior. Are you believing this? If you're believing this, if you're believing that gospel, that good news, You show yourself to be a sheep. You demonstrate yourself to be a sheep. If you're not, and you're rejecting that right now, you show yourself not to be one who is in Christ's pasture. You show yourself to be like one of the Pharisees, going your own way, trusting your own works, which will utterly fail you in the day you stand before the true and living God. And make no mistake, we all will stand before the judgment seat. And those who are the redeemed of Christ will be declared openly by the Lamb of God that these are the redeemed, and they will go away into eternal life. And the goats, they will go to eternal damnation. So Jesus said, "My sheep do this, they hear." The Greek term there, akouo, means it reaches down into the soul. And it makes effect, it makes change in their life. So when they hear, they obey. When they hear, they follow. When they hear, they do. And this is always a response of what has been done to them. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, the Holy Spirit gives ears to hear and a heart to believe. And when He gives that ears to hear and heart to believe, you respond in a thankful heart, in a thankful manner, in loving obedience. Not perfection, but certainly direction. It changes the way that you live. It changes the direction that you go in. That's what happens when you are caused to hear the Good Shepherd. Now these are all what's called a present tense in the Greek text. Present tense means that they are a continual, habitual action in the life of the sheep. So notice that the sheep continue constantly to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd continues constantly to know them, and they continue to follow Him. There's a continuance in this. It's not a been there, done that, like our culture says. No, it's a keep on keeping on. It's a perseverance in the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. You don't believe for a moment and then fall away. That's described in Matthew 13. There are the parable that Jesus gives of the soil, and the parable of the seed falling by the wayside, seed falling upon the thorny ground, seed falling upon the stony ground, and then the seed that falls on the good ground. It's good ground because it's prepared by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit prepares the heart to receive the word of the gospel, that heart believes the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit has done His work in preparation of the heart to receive that seed. The other seed falls on that ground that has no earth below it. It's not been cultivated. And therefore, only for a moment. They might have cheer and they might have joy, it seems, for a moment, but it's only fading. And they fall away because there is no depth of earth. I think you have that in a great degree in the churches, especially in the United States in our day and age. I think there are a lot of people who are self-deceived, who think that they're in the kingdom of God because they're a member of a certain congregation. But they don't hear the voice of the shepherd. They have what you would call social religion. They go because, hey, that's what we always do. That's what we've always done. We go to do our religious duty for the day. They don't have a heart that desires to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and wanting to hear the voice of Christ speak to the heart and give comfort, give direction, give the principles of how I might live to honor and glorify the God who has bought me through His Son. They're just going through motions. Pray the prayers, they confess the faith, they sing the hymns, they get out and they live like hell. Because that's really where they are. They're under the wrath and condemnation of God. But not the sheep of Christ's pasture. They keep on hearing. They keep on following. And Jesus says, "I know them." In the Hebrew world, knowing had more to do with an intimate understanding. So Jesus is saying that He knows His sheep in an intimate way. It's like a husband and a wife intimacy. This is how He knows us. And we know Him and we continue to learn of Him. And what do? We follow after Him. This is what Jesus says that they do. They follow. To If you're not following Christ, you have no comfort. If you're not following Christ, you could be a member of a church anywhere, but you're not in the kingdom. You're not in Christ's pasture. Don't deceive yourself. Listen to the voice of the shepherd in the word. Not what the pastor says, but what the scripture says. Because if the pastor is not saying what scripture says, you need to get rid of him. Because we need to hear the voice of the shepherd speaking through his word. And this is where he speaks. He makes himself to be known. He causes his sheep to hear through the proclamation of his word. And Jesus said, I give them eternal life. What a comfort to know that eternal life begins at what's called regeneration. When someone is made anew spiritually, we come to this world spiritually dead, at war with God, hating one another, being hateful people. And it's the Spirit of God who sovereignly regenerates the soul, raises it up spiritually, gives it new life. And in that new life, there is a love for the Savior. There's a desire for all things holy, right, and good. And it's an infantile stage in the beginning, and it grows, and it continues to grow, and it's to grow into maturity. This is the work of the Spirit, and eternal life begins then. As a believer, I have everlasting life right now. I have the beginning right now. For me, to die is a dying to sin and entering into the joy of that eternal life. Which is still not the fullness. That's glorification, which is coming. That is in the intermediate state now for the believer. Anna Maria is one who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. She now has departed. Her soul has left her body. And her soul has entered into the presence of Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul says, I would rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You better know it's far better. It's far better than living in this dump heap down here in this world. It's difficult living in this world. It's far better. And she's awaiting the resurrection of the body. She's awaiting the fullness of glory when the body will come out of the grave and then be reunited again to the soul. And the mortal puts on immortality. The corruptible puts on incorruption. Death is completely swallowed up by life. And the people of God will stand at the last day and declare that to be truth. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? It's been swallowed up by life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise of everlasting life. That's a life that goes on forever. It's difficult for us to comprehend that. Everlasting life, eternal life, life without end, in the presence of God, without pain, without suffering, without sin, without tribulation, no more death, no more sickness, no more of the things that we experience so vividly in this life. No more of those things. These things are done away with. Christ prepares for us what is paradise restored. It's Eden restored. This is heaven come down upon this earth, a kingdom of righteousness. No more pain, suffering, sorrow, or difficulty. No more war, no more famine. No more hatred. Why? Because sin is completely eliminated. Oh, what a day that will be. And we will live in the presence, the comfortable presence, the joyful presence, the warmth of the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Without ever a possibility of sin entering in, without ever a possibility of the disruption of our union and fellowship with our God forever. Not so with the wicked. They will live forever as well. And they will live forever in the lake of fire, where the church wants to explain that away today. But Jesus vividly declares that the worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. And the pain and the gnashing of teeth go on forever and ever and ever. Why? Because you chose death. You didn't choose life. And life is in the Son, Jesus. And if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. The wrath of God abides upon you. You abide in death. You are under God's wrath. It's just a moment in time that you fly away and you go to your eternal destiny. what God has determined before the foundation of the world. And death is like that, isn't it? One day you speak to somebody, and the next day they're dead. Your family, you understand that. You know that it happened. Maybe you talked to Anna Marie earlier in the day. Maybe the day before. And then the next day she was gone. Her soul had departed. Former pastor of this congregation, Pastor Daryl Kingswood, was a good friend of mine. That was that way for him. I talked to him on Sunday evening. And it was 5 years ago. And he had been sick and they didn't have service that Sunday. I think there was also an ice storm that particular Sunday. And so there was no service. And I was in South Dakota at the time. And we were talking on that Sunday evening. Monday morning, I got a phone call that he had died. I mean, it was hard to fathom that. It's hard to understand what had just happened. I mean, I think I was in shock for a moment when it was told to me. I couldn't process that. I just talked to him yesterday. That was my comment. I just got off the phone with him yesterday. What do you mean he's dead? Life is like that, isn't it? We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Do you think you have 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 more years? How presumptuous are you? The psalmist speaks about our life being a hand breath. In the Hebrew terms, a hand breath is like your palm from one side to the other. Now, we have an illusion that thinks, okay, I'm born, I'm right here. And when I'm 20, I'm right here. When I'm 40, I'm right here. When I'm 60, I'm right here. And maybe when I'm 90 or 100, then my life expires. But you're deceiving yourself. Because you may be one who is 30 years old, and God has given you 31 years, and you're right here. And you're anticipating that you're only back here, and I have plenty of time. No, you only have what right now, each moment. This is what you have. And the next moment at some point is not going to come, and you've all been given a certain amount of sand in your hourglass. And when that sand is up, no matter where you are or what you're doing, you're dead. It could be a car crash, could be a heart attack, could be cancer, could be a gunshot. Could be a plane flying over and an engine falling off and come down and wipe out a whole neighborhood of houses. It's a strange thing, isn't it? I saw a hunter one time get killed because he fell asleep while he was deer hunting and he fell out of a tree stand. He broke his neck. I saw another hunter fall asleep that was next to a tree and a deer came and gored him. How'd you like to die that death? God in His providence has ordained that day. Are you following Christ? Have you have the hope of salvation? Do you have eternal life? Are you following after Him? And this is the promise, you'll never perish. To perish means to be cast out into eternity of hell. To perish means to suffer ruin forever. Now, according to the teaching of Scripture, every person that has come into this world, from Adam until the last person that is born, lives forever. The question is never, do they live forever? The question is always location. Where do they live? Do you live in the indescribable presence of the comfortableness of God forever and ever, where there is joy everlasting, full of glory? Or do you live in the indescribable pain and torture in the presence of the devil and his demons forever and ever and ever? That's the question. If you perish to suffer the wrath of God against your sins. And Jesus promises the believer, you will never perish. We need to hear that. As believers, those of you who are believers here this morning, you need to hear that continually. You won't perish. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul made that declaration in Romans chapter 8. I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing separates you from the love of God in Christ. I give them eternal life. It's a gift that Christ has merited. He gives us life everlasting. You don't have temporary eternal life. You don't lose eternal life. That goes on at the moment of regeneration throughout the eons. It never ends. And so it is with the unbeliever, where they are in the presence of torture. And Jesus says, no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. That is a blessing to know that the Christian, the believer, the redeemed, the sheep are in Christ's hands. There's no greater authority. All power and authority has been given under Christ. There is no one that can snatch you. To snatch means to rip you away. You see the imagery of a wolf coming into the fold and snatching a sheep and running off with it. That will never happen to the sheep of Christ's pasture. No one is stronger than our God. No one can overthrow the hands of Christ. He has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And no one can withstand his hand. And so there is the comfortableness of dying in Jesus Christ. This is your only comfort in life and in death, is belonging to the Savior Jesus Christ. Do you belong to him? If you belong to him, your life is going to evidence that. Not a perfection, but certainly the direction of your life. You are going to hear his voice, and you are going to desire and delight to hear his voice. And you are going to demonstrate yourself to be one of his sheep. But if you're one sitting here this morning, and you have no desire for the word of Christ, if you're bored right now with the word of Christ, you show yourself to be outside of the flock of Christ's fold and under the wrath and condemnation of God. And you are called this morning to repent and to believe on the only Savior, Jesus Christ, and have life in him. Cry out to him, flee to him, as he has said. If you're weary, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you're heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and in me you find rest for your soul. Moses said to the people of God, I present to you this morning life and death. What's your choice? Eternal life in Jesus Christ, or eternal damnation trusting in yourself? The hope of the nations, his name is Jesus. He's the good shepherd who keeps his sheep. May it be that the Lord causes you this morning to demonstrate you are the sheep of his pasture by hearing and following after his voice. Amen. Shall we pray?